Hello and thank you for listening to episode 307 of 60MW. I'm Dave and this is another of our Soundcheck interview shows, and in this one I get to chat with Jeff Scott Soto all about his latest album Wide Awake in My Dreamland, which is released November the 6th by Frontiers Music. Frontiers Music, as you may already know, who we've been proud to add to our partnership page. And as I said on our social media, that's led to more news from their great releases on our website. And of course, some more interview shows, of which there is more incoming very soon. Stay tuned for those. As you'll hear on this show, I've been a fan of Jeff for many, many years now. Seen him live numerous times. Love his music. Again, regular listeners, you know, I only chat to people whose work I really love, be that a music show, video game show, movie shows. These interview ones, I just chat to people whose work I really love. You know that my enthusiasm, my excitement is always genuine. Hopefully that comes through in all of these shows too. So the chance to chat with Jeff was absolutely brilliant. And of course, new music incoming, always good, no matter who it's from. So at the time of releasing this show, there's two songs out from his new album. So let's begin by playing one of the first ones that come out. So sit back, relax, get comfortable. Yes, come on, you know, turn it up. It's time to listen to Jeff Scott Soto and Love's Blind. Jeff, thank you for joining me today all the way across in America, where we were just discussing before we started recording that it's a bit crazy over there. But as I said to you, people have got your new album to look forward to. So ignore everything else going on in the world.
Well, thanks for having me. And yeah, you know, it's a crazy time. It's kind of a reflection of the album title. The album title was based on everything that was going pre-COVID. I mean, COVID just added another dimension to this title, because it truly feels like we're dreaming. This can't be, we can't be living this and absolutely not. We're wide awake in this crazy dreamland of what's happening around the world. And it's exactly what I said in terms of the album was a reflection of what the world is going through in terms of so much divide, and, you know, between what you're dealing with Brexit and what we're dealing with in our politics and religion and divisions and social issues, et cetera. It truly is. I don't remember a time in my lifetime that I've dealt with so much going on at one time. It truly is maddening.
It's crazy. I mean, and this is the time, though, isn't it, when people need the creative arts, when they want movies, where they want new music and everything. So, you know.
And that's the thing. And I've spoken about this in, you know, a lot in terms of the interviews I'm doing for this record, in terms of what I can expect and what I hope to expect in the near future when it comes back to going back to live tours and shows. You know, we go to these shows as an escape. We go to these shows as we want to see our favorite groups, and we want to see these particular bands, and we can go just kind of let everything go that's happening in our day, in our week, in our month. But with all these mandates and all these new things they're going to have to abide by, it's going to be a constant reminder. It's going to be, we're going to be constantly reminded that there's no escape from anything. So I wonder how that's really going to work in terms of us getting back to work, so to speak, with all these mandates and regulations and don't do this and you can't do that and you have to stay this. It's going to be, ugh, I don't even want to go to a show because I have to deal with all this.
Oh, it's crazy. I was looking just the other day, I've got a photograph of when I met you over here in North Wales, and it was 2014, right, at the Tivoli here in Buckley.
Oh, right.
It's our local music venue. Great, great, great venue. Right. Been going there since the 80s, and of course you went down a storm there. And I was looking at that and I'm thinking, when's the next time I'm going to be able to see Jeff over here? You know, it's so crazy.
It's great. And to be honest with you, I even kind of made a recent pact after last year's touring that I probably won't be going much. I won't be going out much in terms of an actual tour, unless it's Sons of Apollo or Trans-Siberian, the bigger tours, because I'm going to be 55 in 2 days. And at some point I have to start looking at, do I want to be trudging about the world at the level of, you know, small crowds and kind of small venues where I'm basically giving everything that I would an arena show and coming home with enough to kind of buy a six pack of beer. So I pretty much am curbing my solo tours and those and the live dates, so to speak, and just kind of keeping them as appearances or maybe festivals and that type of thing until or unless the ideal of, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Until there's more of a demand, I guess.
If there's more
of a demand and makes more sense to go out and do a lengthy tour, that's when I'm into it. But I just can't see myself doing these van tours and sleeping in flea bag hotels and playing to half full houses. It's kind of debilitating at my age and the amount of time that I've been putting behind this.
The thing is, Jesse, I was 55 just a few months ago. And I've been I've listened to my voice just doing podcasts over these 8 years and how it's changed so much. Your voice doesn't change. I mean, I've listened, I've got the new album. We were sent a review copy of it and I've been listening to it for the last week. And you're hitting all the notes how you've always done them. How the hell are you doing this?
Well, bless you for saying that. But my voice has changed. My range is nowhere near what it used to be. The things that you're hearing that I'm doing, clearly in a studio environment, you have the time. You can basically, if you're live, you don't get a do-overs. You don't get to say, oh, I stuffed that one up. Let's rewind and play that part again. I'll nail it next time. Oh, I messed up again. Let's go back. You have that luxury of doing that in the studio. So by all intents and purposes, my range is certainly dropped. I'm not fooling myself to think that I'm going to be able to pull that stuff off live or a lot of the stuff that I did in my earlier years live. But I'm also realistic when I'm doing now and what I'm doing with my voice nowadays, I probably can pull most of it off live. A band like Wet, forget it. I can't do an entire Wet tour. I wouldn't make it through the first three shows of a tour with Wet, because it's just not, it's not really in my range to do live anymore.
Yeah.
I can do it in a controlled studio environment where I have the luxury of do-overs, but that's probably, and I keep, every time we write new songs, hey guys, when you're writing melodies for me, let's be a little realistic. If we ever want to play this stuff live, oh yeah, yeah, no problem, Jeff. The next songs come in, I'm like, oh Jesus Christ, it's as high as the first album. Okay, so yeah, I'm realistic in terms of knowing what I'm doing, and if I ever have to sing or play it live, but there are some songs there's no way I'll be able to pull off live, but that's okay. I don't want the art to suffer. I don't want the art on the piece of music you're listening to where I can control it to suffer. So I'll just get around it.
Yeah. And you've always been so busy across lots of different projects. You know, you just mentioned Wet, just one of those, and Talisman, and on we go. I mean, you always put out music over the years, which is so good as well. I mean, you always keep busy and you always put out music. And the new album, Wide Awake in My Dreamland. And without a word of a lie, Jeff, it's, you've never put out an album that I didn't like. It's so...
Thank you.
No, it's true. It's true, though. So I always look forward to new music from you. And you've put out so much great music over the years. What keeps you doing it?
Well, first of all, this is my day job. This is what I do. I it's the old cliche of I didn't find music. Music found me. And I'm blessed and humbled that I can continue doing it after so many decades. It's, you know, we're over three decades now. I'm rounding the curve. I'm my fourth decade of doing this professionally. So because I do this professionally, I respect what I do. I take care of myself so I can continue doing it. I take care of my voice on the road. I take care of my voice at home. I don't take anything for granted, but for the most part, I realize I have a responsibility to the people who do listen to my music to always give quality, to never just phone it in. I'm always thinking and feeling like I want to better myself. And this is why, I guess, a testament to why I still have a legion of people that will continue following what I'm doing musically. It's fantastic.
And speaking of you not dialing it in, I mean, a great example. I mean, you were still kept busy. I mean, everything that's going on in the world, you know, everywhere's been in lockdown and all the new rules and everything. I watched this. Well, I watched it when it first came on YouTube, but I watched it again just the other day of when you sang We Are the Champions and you got Brian May and you got Roger Taylor there. What was that experience like? I mean, you've sung obviously with so many different people, but that must have been such a great thing to do as well, and cheered a lot of people up in during this time.
Yeah, and I've sung and done a lot of things with Brian and Roger through the years. I'm lucky enough to consider them friends, as opposed to just being a fan that knows the guys, and that's one of the perks that comes with what I do for a living is you actually can meet your heroes, are the ones that you want to meet, because some of them is better left unseen and unheard, but that you can meet your heroes and you can actually collaborate with them and do things like this. This is all just stemmed from Brian was sitting at home just trying to, as you said, cheer people up by putting his own Queen riffs out. And basically he says, take my riff or take the video footage and sing or play along to me and show me your videos. He wanted people to share if he was playing one of his songs that you could sing on top of it, et cetera.
Yeah.
So he had put We Are the Champions out, just the little excerpt. And then next thing, Roger made an appearance and added the drums to it. So I was like, oh man, I should probably do as all the fans that are just following Brian and do it myself. Before I knew it, a friend of mine in Brazil played the bass part and he put himself in a video with the three of the guys playing. I was like, that's it. I asked him, listen, I'm going to sing this and I'm going to do my own video, but can you add it to Brian and Roger's bits? And it came out great. I did all the backing vocal harmony overdubs as well, because I didn't want it just to be a lead vocal by itself.
Yeah.
And that's why it sounds so cool.
It does. I would recommend everybody listening to this, if you haven't watched it yet, go on YouTube. I'll put a link into the podcast notes because people definitely need to see that. Have you ever been nervous or starstruck at any point? I mean, like I said, you've worked with so many people, but during the course of your career so far, have you ever got, you know, that sweaty palm moment at all?
I think, yeah, of course I have. One of the moments was playing at the Hollywood Bowl in front of all my family and friends with Journey. It was a rainy night, and the rain had just stopped. It rained on Def Leppard's set, but the rain had just stopped, but the stage was exceptionally wet. And the tarmac material that we use on the floor of the staging floor was, you basically step onto it and it's like walking onto an ice skating rink. It was slippery. And I remember them warning us, guys, don't move around so much because it's really slippery. The slightest bit of water, you're truly just going to lose your footing. And I, as soon as I stepped on the stage from the side of the stage, like, whoa, this is going to be interesting. I kind of figured out what I can and what I can't do, what I normally did in the show.
Yeah.
And within the first, within the second song, I was on my ass. So I was nervous about falling down, and I actually did fall down. But then at that point, you say, well, you split second flashing life in front of you. You're like, do I try to make it look like I meant to do that? Do I try to make it look like, don't let them see you fall? Or do I own it? And I went with, I owned it. I stood up, right. I put my hand up, like, yes, 20,000 people just saw me fall on my ass, and I'm owning it.
That's the way to do it, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, the new album, like I said, it's out on November the 6th. Frontiers Music, you've had such a great relationship with Frontiers over the years, haven't you?
Yeah, it's we're 18 years deep, and in 2022 we'll be at our 20 year anniversary together.
Wow! Anything planned for that? Maybe 20 years, 25 years. You've got to do something at least for 25 years.
Well, we're discussing something for the 20 year anniversary. Yes. It's nothing concrete, but we've thrown around a couple things in terms of a true kind of roundup of our time together, because. Yeah, like I said, I'm 55. Who knows if we'll get to a 25 year reunion in terms of my voice and being able to sing and do what I do. So I'm just taking it year for year. And yeah, we've been discussing a few things. Nothing concrete yet, but if we do it, it definitely will be special.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm sure people listening as well would love to know, how does it work when you know you've been with this label for so long? You got the new album now. Do you go to them and say, "Oh, I've got a load of songs. Let's put an album out"? Do they come to you and say, "Oh, let's"? That time for a new album, Jeff? How does all of this come together?
Yeah, for me, it's my process is I'm so busy all the time. I'm kind of like I'm kind of like Burger King. I do everything fresh to order. I don't have things sitting in the vaults and then say, okay, I'm going to pluck a few things and there's my record. Everything is done for that particular album. And yeah, when it's time to do a new record, and as in most cases, you have contractual agreements, and it was sitting down with Frontiers at a meeting last year after performing at the Frontiers Rock Festival, and them saying it's time for a new JSS album, and this is what we'd like. We would hope that you would want to record and make this record kind of like this, and we would love for you to work with Alessandro. You know, they start throwing ideas around, because for the most part, I do my own thing, and they respect me and let me do what I do, because we've got that respect and that those years behind us already.
Yeah.
But this time around, they had their ideals of maybe we should have you collaborate with somebody like Alessandro, and I couldn't be more thrilled, because I've known him for about 15 years, and we've been wanting to work together for even the past 5 years. We keep talking about it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Well, it finally happened.
And does it make it a lot easier now with, I mean, obviously we talked about the restrictions with everything else that's going on in the world, but thankfully through, you know, all the digital age, you can send files to each other. How does it compare now to making the albums to how it did all those years ago back in the 80s?
Well, in the 80s, I was still fresh and new. I wasn't the musical whore that I am now. So what I was doing was here domestically, didn't have to go abroad. I didn't have to go into studios. I did for I started doing those kinds of things. Like I'm going to say like Talisman 1989, 90. But even by the mid 90s, the home recording studios were starting to flourish. And even with Talisman and Human Clay and things I was doing with Marcel, even the last Axel Rudy Pell album, they would send me the tracks on what was called an ADAT. It was kind of like a VCR looking machine that took VHS tapes, but the high quality VHS tapes, and would break it down to 8 tracks, and you were able to record digitally with these things. And so I had 3 of them daisy chained together. So I had a 24 track studio in my home, and I've been used to this ideal since before they were WAV files or A files, and being able to do it digitally the way we do it now, I kind of weaned myself in that world way, way before it was common for everybody to be doing it the way we're doing it now. So I was kind of ready for it. And once we got to the digital format of Pro Tools and Logic and stuff like that, it's like, thank you for making my life even easier now.
And the way that you write songs, has that changed much over the years?
No, not at all. I don't really write music. I'm not really a composer, so to speak. The last time I wrote an entire song from soup to nuts would have been the Lost in the Translation album back in 2004. My forte is lyrics and melodies. So I would prefer to write with people, with musicians who are experts at their craft, to write with a fantastic guitar player, write with a fantastic keyboard player, and have them utilize the best of their talents in the songwriting. So that way the songs actually have somewhere else to go than my elementary level of playing guitar and keyboards. And so my forte is finishing the kind of canvas that's set up above me. It's set beyond, set in front of me. You'll give me a song that just requires finishing, so to speak. And that's where I step up, and that's where my strengths are. I'll listen to a piece of music, and it pretty much dictates what it's going to be about. The song, if it's a ballad or if it sounds like an epic song that could be about world issues, it pretty much just tells me when I'm listening to that body of music what the song's going to be about.
And the new album is such a great selection of songs, and then so many different themes in it as well. I mean, the two songs that have been released on YouTube, with Love's Blind and Without You as well, two great songs again. And just for everybody listening, just a little taster of the rest of the album that's on there as well, which is another great thing that I loved about this album. It's got like the peaks and valleys emotionally that you follow as you're listening to it.
Yeah, and that is a testament to proper sequencing. I've done so many albums years where, and we always do that. We always used to emulate the albums that we loved in the bands that I'm in, or even as a solo artist. You take an album you love that you know it has all the ebbs and flows, all the peaks and valleys. So that way, it gives you it has to flow. Otherwise, you couldn't listen to it from soup to nuts, from top to bottom. So I'm very conscious about which songs are where in the placements of what comes after another. You don't want to put two ballads next to each other. You don't want to put two songs in the same kind of tempo or even the same key next to each other, because it starts sounding like one long song. So yeah, there's an art to album sequencing, I believe, and I truly think about this every time I'm putting in this song has to start the album, this one has to end the album, the bookend, so to speak. And yeah, it's a lot of fun doing that kind of stuff.
Because this is something I've gone on about for ages, because of course, like I said, we're the same age and grown up listening to vinyl, and you'd put side one on and that was it. You'd sit and you'd listen to side one, you'd turn it over and you'd listen to side two, and they'd all be in order. Whereas now, people just shuffle. And even to the point where there'll be the hundreds of albums on their MP3 player, and they'll shuffle one song from this album, one song from that. And I'm still, I guess I'm a dying breed where I want to listen to a full album and not be shuffling around.
I'm right there with you. I couldn't agree more. And this is one of the things I can't stand about the digital streaming format, is you've kind of lost that sensibility of an album and why it's presented as such. It's become such a singles world that you've lost that flow of an entire record. Yeah, sure, you want variety, you want a mixtape, etc. But there's something to be said about listening to a full album, especially one that's made for the entire listening process.
And I think that's how albums grow on you over the years, through listening to them all in one piece as well. And you get such a deep affinity for albums, because you listen, you consume all in one go all the time.
I'll never forget the stupid idea that Marcel and I had for an album called Life. When we first put out the European version of the album, there were like two or three songs that were kind of melting into the next, but there was no track ID. So there's like three or four track IDs on the entire record. If you put one song on, you had to listen to the next two that came after it, because you couldn't fast forward to the next ones. We kind of took the idea that, kind of taking the piss on Prince. He did an album where there were no track IDs, an album called Love Sexy, where you had to listen, you press track one and that's it. You could not fast forward to track six or seven. You could fast forward and hold the button, but that's more annoying. So you were forced to listen to the entire record. So we kind of like, hey, you know, let's piss people off and do it on a few songs, not the whole record. And boy, did we piss a few people off, including the label. So when it went to reissue, they said, no, we're adding track IDs to each song.
And people getting the CD of this, it's a double CD. You get Loud and Live in Milan from 2019 as well.
Yeah. I was talking about then in discussing the new album, the Wide Awake album with Frontiers. We had a meeting after that show at that performance. That was recorded with the intent of releasing as a standalone product. But I knew because I was only allotted a 50-minute time slot. I thought, I don't know, guys. I really don't want fans to not only feel cheated that they're buying an album that's only 50 minutes long, but I don't want the attack that I'm going to get. How dare you? You put this live album out and it's barely enough to get, it's barely half your show. So we came up with a happy medium of, okay, we'll release it as a digital streaming item. But for those who actually still believe in the physical side of buying records, we're going to give it to you as a bonus disc as incentive to buy the new album. So it worked out on both ends.
Yeah, it's really good. Everybody buying it, it's worth every penny, definitely. And you've got a great few days coming up. It's your birthday in a couple of days. Happy birthday, ready for that. Hope you have a great day for there. And then 2 days later, you've got the album release. So a bit of an exciting
And then
week.
We've got one of the most historic elections in U.S. history. I'm like, oh, Christ, how am I going to compete with that?
Yeah, everybody just avoid that and buy Jeff's new album. That's the way to cope with everything going on. That's what I say.
Thank you for that.
Well, like I said, Jeff, I've really enjoyed the album. I'm going to play it a lot more. I look forward to more new music coming from you in the future. I've got my fingers crossed that I get to see you live again. And for the sake of the edit, thank you so much for joining me today. And just keep making the music. I love it.
I appreciate that. And I thank you for listening and giving me the attention. It's fantastic.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
You're very welcome.
And the alarm bell, as always, brings to an end another interview show. Hopefully another one that you enjoyed. Please share these shows, share everything that the artists do. Again, weird, weird time we're going through in the world at the moment. Help the creative arts by at least sharing the shows, get their word out there. And of course, buying them. The show is going online on November the 5th. If you're listening to it on day of release, thank you very much. You can pre-order the new album. If you're listening to it after then, again, thank you very much. You can buy it now, you lucky, lucky people, once again. We are, of course, still at 60mw.co.uk. It's the hub of everything that we do. You can email us via the Contact Us section on there. You can go directly to our Twitter and Instagram. Both of those are at 60mwpodcast. You can join the world tour. You can leave us a review, visit there, and everything that we do is on there. And again, you're listening to this, you like music, please check out the news section on our website. A lot of it's to do with music. There's links to more bands, more artists, the videos that they've produced. Watch those, listen to those, share those, and of course, buy the music too. That's what all of these soundcheck shows are about. And so, until the next show, which I can confidently predict will be another interview show with another Frontiers artist that will be in your ears very, very soon. Let's end this one with Jeff Scott Soto and Without You.